The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to The Bad Broadcast. I'm your host, Maddie Murphy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of The Bad Broadcast. Happy Monday. My name's Maddie. I'm your host. Happy April. Oh, happy April Fool's Day. I just remembered that this episode comes out on the 1st. I hate April Fool's Day. It has to be the worst holiday. It has to be. I hate pranks. I hate practical jokes. I hate people feeling embarrassed. I hate feeling embarrassed. It's the worst holiday, but it is April, which is exciting. One step closer to warm weather. All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. So this last week, I had a moment. Okay, I had a moment on Instagram. I'm not necessarily proud of, but the result ended up being something that I'm so insanely grateful for. So I got a few reviews, one-star reviews of people being mad that I have talked about motherhood as much as I have, which caught me off guard in so many different ways. One is that I don't feel like I've talked about it that much, but that's just me. That's just me. Like, I could be so off on that and just completely not self-aware, but I didn't feel like it was consuming my content. I mean, I don't feel like I share a lot about her. And maybe that's just my perspective because I'm with my baby all day and I'm thinking about her all day and I'm trying to actively keep it off of the podcast, but I am sure I'm talking about it more than I realize. But yeah, I got these reviews and I posted them on Instagram and I shared, you know, how impossible it is to like move through the world as a mother. And it's icky. I get it. People don't want to hear about it. People don't want to see your bad reviews, but I thought it was important for a few reasons. One, I was not in a good spot and I wanted to talk about it. I needed support. I wanted to ask for it. You guys delivered. Two, I feel like it's good for people to see that like that's really happening. Like that I am actually criticized for talking about my child and talking about being a mother. Because it's changed my content, because 2 years ago, my content wasn't about motherhood and people get used to that and they like that content. And then when it changed, they get upset that it's no longer fitting kind of their idea of what my content should be. Anyway, you guys went and left some of the nicest, most thoughtful, most generous, most, oh my gosh, the reviews you guys left changed me, changed everything, changed the way I see the podcast, changed the way I see integrating motherhood and work. Like, the way you guys supported me was the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was a really hard realization to have that there's not a whole lot of room for moms, like anywhere. And that there's people who genuinely don't think that there is room for my motherhood in a space that I invented, that I created. I created this podcast and people are upset that my life is a part of it. And it's just, I don't know, that was like really, really, really upsetting to realize. And so many of you have had similar experiences in your workplaces, like people telling you, oh, don't bring motherhood to work and don't take work home. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? This is the most all-consuming thing in the entire world. I'm shocked I haven't just started a motherhood podcast. And like, it's crazy to think that we should be expected to keep this part of our life out of any other parts of our life. Motherhood will be a part of everything I do for the rest of time, everything. And anyway, when I got the reviews at first, I didn't share them and I just kind of sat on them and I was like, okay, maybe I need to really take a hard look at this and think about separating a little bit more and really not acknowledging motherhood or my baby, like not acknowledging it on the podcast. And then I thought about Coco. And I thought about this situation is very hypothetical, but what if one day somebody said to her, oh, you know what? Your mom used to talk about you all the time. And then some rando on the internet didn't like it. So she stopped talking about you. As a daughter, if my mom did that, if my mom let some random person dictate when or how she could talk about me or talk about her motherhood, I would, first of all, be offended. I'd be offended. But I would, yeah, I would be so sad. And so I try to think about it in that perspective. And I hope that any of you that have had a similar experience that have been told in your work, because this is a workspace. I know it's an unconventional job having a podcast, but it's my job. I mean, this is what I do. And I hope that any of us that are told to get, you know, like get our motherhood like out of here, I hope that we can refocus our perspective, because it's the biggest thing we'll ever do. And that is not to say, and I've said this a million times, it is not to say it is the best thing that anybody can do. It is the only fulfilling thing. I've been really clear about how I don't think that motherhood is the only way to be happy or it's the only way to be fulfilled. I think there are so many different avenues that women can and should take to find their way to happiness. And this is just mine. And so I'm going to talk about it. And you guys were overwhelmingly supportive of that. Anyway, sorry, I'm rambling now, but I had to say thank you. I had to acknowledge that that happened. It was a big learning experience for me. But now let's get into today's episode. We have a long list of things to discuss. First, I have a hefty love-hate segment for you guys, 4 of each, which is crazy. And then we're going to get into our collective anti-bucket list. I saw this on a TikTok. I think it was on a TikTok. Yeah. What's on your anti-bucket list? So things that you've done before that you're just never going to do again. Things you're done doing. You did it once, you're good. And maybe we can save others from doing it. I like this idea better than a bucket list because I don't like feeling like I didn't, like feeling unaccomplished. And bucket lists typically make me feel unaccomplished. Okay. Let's do my love hates first. Number one on my love list. Grocery pickup / delivery. You know, there's so many people out there that think that they're born in the wrong era, that think they were like, you know, they're flower children. They should be living in the 70s. I don't know. That could not be further from the truth for me. Like, you will never catch me saying that I do not want to live in this era. Historically speaking, we live in the best time. Like, there's less sickness, there's more medicine. Like, we live in a pretty good time. I would not want to go back in time, even 5 years, especially because of grocery delivery and pickup. It is the best thing ever. So every Monday, I do 3 grocery delivery / pickup. I do a Target pickup order, I do a Costco delivery, and I do a Harmon's delivery. Harmon's is like Utah's good grocery store. It's like our, I would say it's like, I mean, it's not Whole Foods, but I would say it's akin to Whole Foods in Utah. I love it. So I do those 3. And every single time I realize that I can get all of my groceries, I can get, including like the formula that I need. If I need like socks, I can pick them up from Target. The fact that I can do basically all of my weekly errands and all I need to do is run to Target and pick it up. I don't even have to go inside. I can leave Coco in her car seat and then the rest is going to be delivered. What a joy it is to be alive in a time with grocery delivery and pickup. I will forever be grateful for it. Anyway, next on my love list, decluttering. I am a decluttering queen, okay? I don't have a lot of strengths, okay? Especially when it comes to cleanliness or organization or whatever, but I declutter like it's my job. I'm so good. If I get something that I know is going to be clutter, I have a clutter radar. Like if I get an item and I know that one day it's going to be clutter, it's donated almost immediately. It's given to somebody immediately, somebody who wants it. Don't worry, I won't clutter other people's houses. But I love to declutter. In the process of decluttering, I've become good at 2 other additional things. I am really good at unsubscribing from spam emails and like email lists. Really good at it. My inbox is quality emails only. Okay. QEO. The only emails that I get are ones that I specifically need or sign up for, or they're work related or whatever. If I see a spam email, I'm unsubscribing immediately because that feels like clutter to me. And so I have to take care of it. And then another thing that I'm really good at, unfollowing people. Again, it's clutter. It's clutter in my life. Like if I'm looking at somebody's stories and I catch myself being like, I don't even know this person. I don't even know this person. I kind of have a rule that, like, if we haven't talked in the last year, typically I'll unfollow you. And it's not even anything personal. It's not even like, oh, I don't like you, or you post something I don't like. It's just like, oh, I use Instagram to keep up with people that I'm actively involved in their lives. And that's why I have an Instagram, and that's why I follow who I follow most of the time. But yeah, I'm really good at decluttering. I'm saying that I'm really good because in my mind, this is a strength. It could be not a good thing to do. But anyway, decluttering, love it. That's number two on my love list. Number three, number three and four kind of go hand in hand. So I don't know if you guys have seen on TikTok, there was a Twilight reunion at, I think it was the Chicago Comic-Con, not Comic-Con, but whatever, same vibe, you guys get it. And then there was a Harry Potter cast reunion at a different comic convention. I love these celebrities so much, first of all, because what was more what was more important in our development besides Twilight and Harry Potter? Like, those things, as millennials, other people hated about us. It is what it is. So much of our personalities were formed by these characters alone. And I love when these actors love those characters. I love when they revisit them, when they do the comic conventions, when they ask people, or when they let people ask them questions and they answer sincerely. Like, I don't like when people kind of turn their nose up at things that made them famous. Like, sorry, but I feel like Robert Pattinson does it with Edward and with Twilight. Like, I feel like he's like mad that he's mad. Oh my gosh. And he's in Harry Potter. He sucks bad. No, he doesn't suck. I really like him, but why is he not embracing those characters more? I don't like that. So I love seeing these cast reunions and seeing them really embrace like the franchise that put them on the map and probably made them millions and millions and millions of dollars in royalties. Like, if I was in one of these movies and now I'm retired, like, think about Tom Felton, who plays Draco, which, by the way, you guys, I have Manacled downloaded on my Kindle. I promise. You guys have messaged me a lot. I stepped away from my reading era when I had a baby. I didn't have free minutes, as you guys understand. But now it's like I put her down at 7 and I have time to read. So I promise Manacled is on my list. But anyway, think about Tom Felton. So I made a TikTok about this. He had like 16 minutes of screen time or something crazy. And then I'm sure he's made millions upon millions and millions of dollars for his role as Draco Malfoy. And I mean, maybe it's a little cringe. Maybe it is that he's still like talking about it or still doing like cameos as Draco. But like, that made it possible for him to retire at what, 23? Maybe even earlier. Like, if that were me, I would never let it go. I would live in character. I would walk around the streets in full costume, in Hogwarts garb, no questions asked. So I love when these characters still love that. And I felt that way about the Twilight reunion that I was seeing, or the videos that I was seeing. Like, all of the characters, they were making TikToks about it. They were embracing each other. I liked it. Okay. It warmed my millennial cringe heart. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by ShipStation. There's a lot that goes into creating a podcast. You have to prep and record and edit and mix and master, promote, design assets. There's a lot that goes into it, including selling merch. If you run an e-commerce business, you know that the behind the scenes of a website and selling online is crazy. And it makes it so much easier when you can streamline tedious tasks, especially when it comes to shipping. You can optimize your workflow. You can reduce costs with ShipStation. ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online. People don't see how much effort goes into shipping because they just order it and it shows up. But when you're the business owner, you know you're thinking a lot about it. And when you optimize your shipping process and connect to a network of expert partners, you reclaim valuable time for what truly matters: growing your business. I've always used ShipStation. When I first started doing merch on my own, I used ShipStation. If you have received a package from me, you can thank ShipStation. They have an easy-to-use dashboard that makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service so easy, and you can effortlessly import orders from wherever you sell online. They also have options for you to scale your business and reduce warehouse costs with ShipStation's reliable enterprise solutions. So save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off of UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation, and 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps your shipping challenges turn into opportunities for growth. So go to ShipStation.com and use the code BAD to sign up for a free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code BAD. This episode of the Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Ritual. Do you want to get fired up about something? All right, let me tell you. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993, the year I was born? That's how long women have been included in clinical research policies. Women belong in scientific research. They are essential, and Ritual knows that. That's why they've conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. A while ago, I was told that I had low vitamin D, and so I needed to get on something. And Ritual has high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. They've got 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules per day, so it optimizes your body's absorption. It's also gentle on an empty stomach, and it has that minty essence that you guys know I love. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, and Ritual has it. It shows that the product contains exactly what's listed on the label. They're vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. So no more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off of your first month at ritual.com/broadcast. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/broadcast for 25% off. All right, let's talk about the things that I hate. The first thing I hate is overnight oats. I hate overnight oats. I've tried so many times because they're good for you. I get it. There's a lot of protein. There's a lot of fiber. They're easy to make. The texture gives me cold chills. Like I hate them so much. And every single time they were on my meal plan at the beginning and I was like, I'm going to do it because they sounded good. They've got some fresh fruit in there. How bad could they have been? Bad. They were bad. I had to text Emily right after and say, I can't do overnight oats. I'm sorry. I wish I was an adult who could eat oatmeal. And I can't. I can eat hot oatmeal. I'll tell you guys how I eat my hot oatmeal. Okay. I put raspberries on it and that's where the health ends. All right. Because then I put brown sugar and chocolate chips and heavy cream. It is so, so good, by the way. If I can find a way, I'm gonna doctor it a little bit, maybe get it a little more high protein, and it's gonna be, I'm gonna make a dessert out of it because that's the only way I'm gonna eat my oatmeal. Anyway, overnight oats, they're not gonna be for me. They're not gonna be for me, mate. All right, these next three are much less funny and way more important to talk about than overnight oats. Hate Dan Schneider. Hate Dan Schneider. So, so, so much. F*** that guy. In the most disrespectful way I can ever say that about somebody, I hate that man. Can somebody explain to me, like, why is he not in prison? Why is he allowed to live? Why? Like, I don't understand. So in case you guys missed it, the new documentary came out, Quiet on Set, which is all about kind of the nightmare of childhood stardom and Nickelodeon and these things that happen to these kids. And like the things that Dan Schneider made these kids do and say, and the things he allegedly did to Amanda Bynes and Ariana Grande, like, I don't get it. And I at first, when I first heard about this documentary, I was like, well, that's fine. Cause well, it's not fine. Sorry. It's absolutely not fine. But in my mind, I was like, oh, Dan Schneider's in prison. So that's fine. That's what I'm saying is fine, that he's in prison. Like, and hopefully just having the same things done to him. But then I saw a TikTok of him on a podcast. Sorry? Why is he walking around a free man? Why is he walking around just on podcasts? I need this man to be in prison. I need this man to be publicly shamed and harassed and hurt for doing what he did to kids. Like, I'm sorry, but I think that pedophiles should not be allowed to exist in society. I don't. And I think it's weird when that's a controversial take. Like, I think that we should, if it's proven, and we know that they did these things, we should not let them be around. Like, if you're going to hurt kids, if anybody hurts a kid, I think that you should be taken off the face of the earth. I don't know. I couldn't believe it when I saw the TikTok of him on a podcast when he's like, yeah, that was wrong. That was wrong. Was it, Dan Schneider? That's so great that you finally realized it 30 years later, now that you're getting called out for it. Literally. Like, I need him gone. I need him off the planet. And with that, please be joined by Ruby Frankie. We talked about this. I think maybe we talked about it a little bit on the Patreon. Oh, remind me to talk about the Patreon at the end of the episode. But Ruby Frankie, yeah, if you guys haven't been paying attention to this, you know, she was charged with child abuse. And the main thing that really stuck out to me this week about Ruby Frankie was her journals that were released. They are the creepiest, weirdest, most like infantile things I've ever read. Like, she calls herself, like, she says, like, I'm a good girl. I'm never naughty. Like, she's really, really like delayed. Like, she never outgrew the age of like 12 or 13. I don't know. It's a really, really weird mentality that she has. And then on top of that, she hurt her children. Like, get off earth. Like, we don't need you. We don't want you. Like, I think she got sentenced to, her and Jody Hildebrandt, I think they both pled guilty. Of course, Jody Hildebrandt is like, I didn't want to traumatize the kids with a trial. Oh, you didn't? You just wanted to traumatize them in your own way. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's not let a jury decide what happens to you, because that's too traumatic for the children. But you know what? You basically locking them in a dungeon, that was fine. That was on that side of the line. Anyway, these two women, oh boy. Again, I don't think that there should be any mercy. I don't think that there should be any middle ground, any leeway, any nuance to it. You hurt kids, you get punished. Okay. That's my hate list. Really intense hates. Yeah, I won't drag it on too long. Oh wait, no, I have one more hate. I hate, this is a hot take. I need you guys to kind of buckle up for this one, especially in light of everything, but I'm feeling spicy and brave this week. I hate the royal family. Let me start this by saying, I believe Kate Middleton. Okay. I believe that that's her. I don't think it's an AI video. I feel really, really bad for her. And I actually really like Kate Middleton as a public figure. I think that she's great. And I'm not at all saying that she is faking it or whatever. But the royal family threw her under the bus so hard. Like, why did they let that photoshopped picture come out? Why did they let the Twitter account run for Kate say, oh, sorry, I'm just an amateur Photoshop artist. The Princess of Wales is messing around on Photoshop. No, she's not. Like, why would the royal family decide that that was a good PR move? Like, they don't protect people that they don't like, and then they go to the ends of the earth to protect people that are one of their own. Sorry, but Prince Andrew, who again is a pedophile, get off the planet. We don't want you. We don't need you. You deserve death if you hurt children. But they protect Prince Andrew. But like, Kate Middleton has cancer and you throw her under the bus. Like, I don't get it. I don't get the blind obsession with the royal family. Like, I get it. It's fascinating. They're really interesting to follow. It's crazy to me that we have like a monarchy in this day and age, in the internet age. It's crazy to, anyway, but that's just because I'm a dumb American. I'm sure that to a lot of people, the royal family is like really amazing, but like, I'm going to stand my ground with the founding fathers and say, what the hell is the British royal family doing? Like, why did they let all of this spin out of control? Like, the entire internet was coming for Kate and saying things about Kate, and they release a fake picture as though the internet is not going to scour every pixel of that photo to see if there's Photoshop in it. And it wasn't like there was one thing that was maybe Photoshop. Like, there were several things that were obviously Photoshop. Why didn't they protect her? And why are we all of a sudden like obsessed with her? I don't know. It's weird. Like, people always act like the royals like deserve our respect or no. Why? Like, why? They're bad. They're bad people who have protected a lot of bad people and who have hurt a lot of innocent people. So anyway, what is going on with Kate Middleton is so devastating, like, that she's been battling this, and the people who have the power to protect her, the royal family has so much power with the media, with everything, and they just throw her to the wolves. Like, it's so messed up. Why is William not in the video with her? Why is William going out without a wedding ring on? Why is he not using their combined letterhead? All of these things. They know those things will be picked up. They know they will. They're not new to the media. The British or the royal family has been running British media for like a long time. We learned about this with Diana. Why would they let that happen? It seems very, very weird and shady to me that they would do that to somebody who is like a mother with cancer. It's kind of despicable to me. And then like when I see people obsessed with the royal family, especially Americans, I'm like, okay. Like I'm no patriot. Okay. I don't even like the 4th of July really, but you'll never catch me like, or what am I trying to say? I'm not a patriot, but like, this is when like I start getting really like patriotic with it. When I'm like, no, I'm not going to just worship the royal family. Okay. Anyway, there are my rants. There's my love hates for the day. This episode of the Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the place to go if you need a website and you have no clue where to start, aka the situation I found myself in a couple years ago. I was starting the Bad Broadcast. I knew I wanted to have a website and I needed to find a way to do it fast because I was not about to code out a website. I don't know if you've met me, but that's not really my strength. When I found Squarespace, it made it so much easier. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. Also, if you want to do merch, that's where I started. Squarespace makes it super easy to sell custom merch and create a passive income stream that engages your audience and scales your brand. They take care of everything with Fluid Engine. So it's a next generation website design system from Squarespace, and it has never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. You start with a best-in-class website template and you can customize every design detail with reimagined drag and drop technology for desktop or for mobile. With their asset library, you can upload, organize, and access all of your content from one place, and you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. So check out squarespace.com for a free trial, and then when you're ready to launch, you can go to squarespace.com/bad to save 10% off of your first purchase of a website or domain. Once again, that is squarespace.com for a free trial, and then when you're ready to launch, you can use squarespace.com/bad to save 10% off of your first purchase of a website or domain. This episode of the Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Way. My hair takes up a lot of my brain space and also a lot of my time. Like I'm usually thinking about my hair. How can I best take care of it? How can I make it look the best? Am I going to have bad postpartum hair loss? How can I prevent that? I'm thinking about it a lot and I would rather be doing literally anything else with my time than thinking about my hair. That's why I leave it all up to Way. You guys know I'm a diehard for Way, okay? I purchase it with my own money. I love it so much. And they have a new product that I was able to try this week. It's called the Anti-Frizz Cream because we're too busy to be frizzy. So grab Way's new Anti-Frizz Cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control. It saves me so much time. I just want a smooth blowout. And I have a naturally kind of wavy, frizzy hair. So it makes it super easy. It provides immediate frizz control plus heat protection up to 450 degrees. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looked less frizzy. You guys know how much I love Way. I love their leave-in conditioner, their detox shampoo. I love their perfume. All of their products are scented. Oh, they're so luxurious and clean and feminine. I love their scents. I especially love their hair oil lately because, you know, we got to protect what I've got left after the postpartum hair loss. So frizz free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter the promo code BAD for 15% off of any product. That's theouai.com, promo code BAD. Now let's get into some anti-bucket lists. This is a funny question to ask you guys. People really took it and ran with it because some people got like really existential with it. And some people just said like, I'm never scuba diving ever again, which kudos to you guys who said you're never going to scuba dive. I don't blame you. The ocean, spooky. You guys know how I don't believe in space. It's a joke. I believe in space, sort of, but you know, it's a little spooky. So I like to pretend it doesn't exist. And I can do that with space. I can get, there's some distance between us, literally. I don't have to acknowledge it ever. However, the ocean, is spooky and it's very real. It's very, very real. You will never catch me. I don't even like snorkeling. I don't even like touching the ocean. I don't know. There's too much that could go awry. So I've never scuba dived, but yeah, I will never, ever, ever do it. Okay. Let me give you some of the things that I am never doing again. Here's my anti-bucket list. I'm never wearing an underwire bra ever again. If I can avoid all clothing with metal, that would be great. Except a zipper. I understand if we need a zipper, I'll do it. But if I can avoid, yeah, metal in my clothes, I'm going to do it. I will never be wearing an underwire bra ever again. The next thing I'll never do again, late night movies. Sorry. If a movie starts after 9:30, are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? My youth, I thought about this last week when we were talking about midnight movies and like midnight releases of things. Like, yeah, I get it. I get the sentiment. My childhood is scarred from midnight movies. So now in my adulthood, if the movie starts past nine, I'm not going. I'm not going. I got tricked into seeing Killers of the Flower Moon. I was told it was only 2.5 hours. It's 3.5. And the movie started like 9:30. We got home at like 2 because previews are so long now. I won't go into heavy detail, but yeah, I'm not going to late movies ever again. On the flip side, I'm never getting on a flight before 7 a.m. And when I wrote this, I was like, Maddie, who are you joking? You're acting like you're a jet setter who like has the choice of flights, all that. I don't. I'm not going many places, but if I am going somewhere, I'm not scheduling anything before 7 a.m. Honestly, maybe even before 8 a.m. because I like to get to the airport very early. If it's an 8 a.m. flight, like I'm up at 5. I don't want to do it. I don't want to make appointments. Now that I have a baby, if I have to make an appointment, it's in the afternoon always. And that didn't occur to me till a few weeks in because I was like, well, why don't I just go early? Like I had a doctor's appointment. I was like, well, I'll just schedule it for like 8:15 because I'm up with her and whatever. It's 1,000 times worse. It's 1,000 times worse to try and juggle like a little tiny baby early in the morning and then try to get yourself ready. And then no, nap time is when life happens. That's when you have to get ready. It has to be the afternoon. Everything has to be in the afternoon. Okay. Next on my list of things I'll never do again, run on a treadmill. I could probably just stop that on the first word, run. I'm never running ever again. I've learned a lot about my body in this little health journey that I'm going on. And I used to think that the harder the workout, the better it is for my body. Like if I can barely finish a workout, I used to think, oh, that's the sign that I got a good workout. That's going to give me results. And literally in the last few days, I've realized that that's not the case. Like walking is better for you. I don't want to say you, I don't want to say it's universal, but I've seen better results walking than I ever had when I would run, which don't get me wrong. I haven't run in like 5 years. But when I was running, I would be like, that was so hard. Why am I not seeing results? Why am I not? Because it's not the best thing for your body. It's not burning, you know, the fat that you want to burn, whatever. I don't know the science behind it, but I do know that a lot of people who do know the science behind it would agree with me that it's not all about just how hard it is and not being able to finish a workout. Like if I lift heavy weights and then do a walk, which is what all of my friends told me to do, because I wasn't seeing results. And I'm like, but I'm doing these really, really hard workouts. I'm going to burn boot camp. I'm doing cardio. And they were all like, well, why don't you just try lifting and going on incline walks for a little bit and see if you see results? It was like 2 days later. And I was like, oh, I can already feel my body changing. I can already feel it. And my workouts were way easier. Like they're not easy. I mean, lifting heavy isn't easy. We're like walking on an incline, but they're way easier than those really intense cardio sessions. So yeah, I'm not running ever again. Like I, you know, those like dish towels that your weird aunt has in her kitchen. It's like, if you see me running, you better follow me because there's a fire or something like that. Or like if you see me running, it's because there's chocolate in front of me. I need one of those because I'm never running ever again. And the next thing I'm never doing again is going to Arizona in the summer. Hey, Arizona girls, are you okay? Are you okay down there? And how about people who choose to live in Arizona? I genuinely think that liking heat that much is a mental illness. Like you cannot be okay if you live in that heat or if you desire to live in that heat. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, I went to Arizona once in the summer, 6:30 a.m. hit. Literally the sun started peaking peeking over the horizon. And I was in the most intense sweat of my life at one ray of sunshine in Arizona. I will never go back. Ever, ever, ever. Okay. The next thing I'll never do. Oh, this one was a lot of your guys' submission, or a lot of you guys submitted this. Ride a ride at a state fair. Don't do it. Too big of a risk. I don't like thinking that they can just take these apart and they take them on the road and then they get there and then they put them back up. Like, what are they, Legos? Like, I'm not riding that ride. What if you forgot a screw at the last fairground? What if you didn't like do it tight enough? We're trusting the carnies to put the rides together appropriately. No, my kids will never ride them. I will never ride them. Maybe the like little ones, the ones that just like are a little cart that go in a circle. But as far as like those big ones that go upside down, hell no. I will never, ever do that. Okay. And then the last one of something that I'll never do, which is like, it's not an activity. I'm not going to feel bad anymore when people offer something. I have a really weirdly hard time with this. Like when people offer to like send something or offer help with the baby or help with something, I always say no, always. And then you know what? I regret it every single time. I'm like, why did I not say yes? Like they offered. Why didn't I take that? Because I don't think that anybody offers things. We should put this on all of our bucket lists. Let's just not offer something unless we mean it, because we should all be accepting what people are offering. And I've just decided to change my mentality and just say, hey, if they're offering, it's because they want to do it. It's because they want to do it. That's not something that I always do. Sometimes I offer out of politeness. And then when people like accept it, I'm like, oh, perfect. Like I used to do it with like babysitting, like, oh, let me babysit. And then they'd be like, yeah, great. And I'd be like, oh, now I have to babysit. And then I sat for a minute and thought, why would I offer it to babysit if I didn't mean it? So now I no longer offer anything unless it is absolutely 100% what I mean. And I'm also going to start accepting the things that people offer, because I should just assume that everybody's had the realization that I had that we shouldn't offer unless we want to. So that's on my anti-bucket list, feeling guilty about accepting help. All right, let's discuss your guys's anti-bucket list. So many of you said that you will never go on a cruise ever again. I've never been on a cruise, so I can't attest to this, but I can say that I've never had the desire to go on a cruise for many of the reasons that you guys have listed. One, they're scary. Okay. Again, the ocean, big unknown, no reason to venture into it. Two, you're stuck on a boat with a lot of strangers. Three, I've heard mixed reviews about the food. A lot of people love the food on cruises. A lot of people cannot stand it. A lot of people get sick. And then you're like sick, stuck on a boat in the ocean. It does seem a little bit like a prison. And I know I'm going to get DMs of people being like, you're on the wrong cruise. If you don't like the cruise, you should have done Princess, whatever, cruise line, Starship. But I'm with the people who stand against cruises. I don't think I would ever do it. Going to SeaWorld. I've never been to SeaWorld. Yeah, can't do it. And so many of you guys talked about hiking and camping, and I'm right there with you. I saw a TikTok about how somebody said that I'm not outdoorsy, I'm outsidey. Like I like to be outside and I like a nature walk. Honestly, I'll do a 1 mile hike, 2 mile hike. I would maybe even do a 3 mile hike. I really would. And I would probably enjoy it. I like being outside. I love the nature that my gorgeous home state of Utah has to offer. However, you will not catch me backpacking. You will not catch me doing like day long hikes, like anything that's going to take me over 3 hours there and back. I don't want to do it. And oh, what was the other thing? Oh, camping. Yeah. I think I have like camping trauma. Like I think like something comes out of me when I'm forced to camp. I'm not meant for it. And I've said it before, but like in our family, like camping will be a dad activity. Like I would love to go to the campground and make dinner and make s'mores and see the little campsite that dad set up for our kids. And then mom will be going home and any other kids who don't want to sleep outside can come home with mom. Like that's what's going to happen in our family. And I tried, and Gray will tell you, I tried. I thought I would be like a really fun, cute camper mom. It's not in the cards for me. It's not in the cards for me, but I will support the dad activity of camping, but it is definitely on my anti-bucket list. Okay, bungee jumping and cliff jumping. So many of you guys said, I agree with this one just because it's not, I mean, I'm pretty risk averse. Like I don't do a lot of things that could injure me, But a lot of you guys said this same thing. Like, it's not worth the risk. It's not worth what could happen. And it's scary. And there's literally no point. There's no point. Like, adrenaline junkies, like if you're a self-proclaimed adrenaline junkie, get out of here. What's the opposite of adrenaline? Does it have an opposite? Let me look it up. Okay, let's see. Opposite of adrenaline. Norepinephrine, also known, norepinephrine. Yeah, sorry, I'm reading this as I'm recording. I should have waited. I'm going to pause it. Hold on. All right, I just spent about 8 minutes researching epinephrine and norepinephrine and noradrenaline. I can't find the opposite of adrenaline. A lot of people are saying that oxytocin is the opposite of epinephrine or adrenaline. So yeah, I self-identify as an oxytocin junkie. I was thinking I should make merch that says that, but it looks probably a lot like Oxycontin. And I would not like to make merch that says Oxycontin junkie. But yeah, oxytocin, if it's going to give me oxytocin, I'll chase that down all day. Adrenaline, not for me. I don't want anything that's going to make me feel anxious, fight or flight, cause anxiety. I don't want to do it at all. Okay, next thing that a lot of you guys are not doing, going back to an ex / getting into a situationship. Yeah, going back to an ex, I don't know. I'm not always against it. I really am not. Like, I think that there are definitely times where it's right person, wrong time, whatever, and it can work. I just think that that is definitely the minority of situations. More often than not, you broke up with somebody because it wasn't meant to be, and like they're not the one for you. So I don't know. I don't necessarily support going back to an ex at this time of my life. And then, yeah, the situationship, or a lot of you guys said like getting in a relationship where I feel like I can fix them. Like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I totally agree. Like, I'm tired. Okay. Like, when I started dating again, I was like, I can't fix anybody anymore. Okay. Like, I can't coach anyone on how to be a human being ever again. Like, I can't do it. I just need somebody who's fully formed, whose frontal lobe is developed. Like, I don't want to have to teach somebody how to exist. You know, I don't want to have to fix them. I don't want to teach them how to clean and teach them how to cook. I don't want to do it. Even if you're not like in your 30s and tired of dating, even if you're just getting started, it's too much time to try to do that, to try and fix somebody. Eat an oyster is on here. I can get behind this. I can get behind not eating an oyster. And I love seafood. I love seafood, all of it. I don't care how raw it is, how fresh it is, how fishy it is. Like, I love seafood and I hate oysters. I hate them. I truly, truly in my heart believe that people are faking it when they say that they like them. Like, I always think about Ramona Singer eating an oyster whenever I talk about oysters. But yeah, I don't believe people. It's the most unpleasant texture. It's like we are programmed to hate that texture. It is the texture of a loogie. And we're not supposed to like it. It's disgusting. I hate oysters. Yeah, I'm adding that to my list. Never again will I eat one. Okay, next thing. Again, with the hiking, hike Angel's Landing. A lot of you guys said hike Angel's Landing. That's for those of you that aren't in Utah. We have a hike in southern, I think it's in southern Utah. I don't know. Called Angel's Landing. I've never done it, but the last like mile, you're literally on this little tiny, there's like a chain that you have to hang on to. And you like walk across this little tiny, tiny, tiny ledge. And yeah, you can for sure die. Like, for sure. It's 1,000,000-foot drop off. You can die if you slip. So yeah, a lot of you guys, I don't want you guys doing that. I don't want you guys acting like that. Oh, I meant to add this onto my list. I will never be vegan again. Do you guys remember my vegan era? What a waste of time. What a waste that was. I was vegan. It was probably like 8 months. It was probably like 8 months. I did it for a good chunk of time, I would say. At the end of it, I was eating plastic. I was eating pure plastic, like not a veggie in sight. And I know that's my own doing. But like, when you're vegan, you really just look for vegan replacements of things. Like, you look for fake meat and fake cheese. And then I realized that the real stuff, real meat and real cheese and real milk, were way, way, way better for me. Like, why would I waste my time eating? It's seriously, some of it's like fake cheese is plastic. Fake American cheese, I mean, real American cheese is also plastic, but it's got milk in it, or at least milk enzymes of some sort. But yeah, the vegan cheese, I'm never going vegan ever again. It's just, it was so not good for my body. It wasn't good. Well, how I'm eating now is so much more, like I can tell my body needs this. It needs meat. It needs veggies. Obviously, sorry that I'm 30 and learning how to eat a real meal. Wow, my Utah accent came out there. A real meal. But yeah, I will never be vegan ever again. A very common answer from you guys, never going to go to college ever again. Snapping to that because yeah, me neither. I'm never going back to college. Except sometimes I do wish I could redo college. Not go back. I would never want to go back. But if I could like be 17 again and going back into college, I would take it. I would take that opportunity for sure. Oh, paying for a cheaper flight for terrible layovers. I said it a couple weeks ago. I'll say it again. Don't spend time to save money. Spend money to save time. Like if it's going to save you time and the flight is a little bit extra and you can pull it off and it works, you should do it. Those long layovers are so bad. What I used to do, I used to like buy flights to Europe from like a major hub. So from like New York or LA, where they were just marginally cheaper than flying from Salt Lake. So I would buy a flight from like New York to Paris. And then I would buy a flight from Salt Lake to New York, which was usually the same price. So I was basically paying the exact same I would have if I had just gotten a flight from Salt Lake to Paris. But what's even worse is that they never lined up. So sometimes I would be waiting in an airport for like 12, 13 hours before I could go or before I could get on my flight to Europe. So yeah, it was bad. Next, a lot of you guys said you'll never do lip filler again. A lot of you guys said you will never wait till marriage ever again. Oh, that one's funny. Give a cheater a second chance. Yeah, never. Everybody add that to your bucket list. Give a cheater a second chance. Come on. Never. And there's a good handful of you guys that said you'll never get married again. A lot of my fellow divorcees that said you won't get married again. People ask me that quite a bit. Like if I want to get married and if I'd ever get married again. And to that I say, absolutely. It's definitely in our plan. 100%. I really value marriage. I really like it. I think marriage is awesome. I think when you need a divorce and when it's necessary, that's also awesome. My divorce did not make me not appreciate marriage or not want to be married. I still very much like the concept, excited to do it again, excited to do it in a way that I want to do it. I don't know what my next wedding will look like, but my friends had to sit me down because I was like, it's fine. I'll just like go to the courthouse and do something small. And then my friends were like, why don't you do what you want to do? And I was like, because nobody cares because it's my second wedding. And they talked me off that ledge. So I think we'll do something fun, something different for sure, obviously, than we did before. But yeah, I'm really excited at that thought of doing another wedding, kind of how I want to do it. And getting Coco a little matching dress, my little maid of honor. Like I'm obsessed with that. Okay. The next thing that I wanted to tell you guys about was Patreon. I wanted to make sure you guys know this. So I restructured Patreon. I used to have a $10 tier and a $5 tier, and I decided to take down the $10 tier. So I just have one singular Patreon subscription. It's $5 a month. You get two episodes a month. And we also will do, I'm going to mix in some other things on there. I don't really know what, but with the $10 tier, I had like these really specific things that people were getting. And there was like a separate Instagram. And I just wanted to be realistic about what I could handle and what I could deliver on. And I just like, I didn't feel right, like charging people for something that I didn't feel like I was doing well. Like I wasn't giving people what they were paying for. So I decided to just take it down to $5. If you're listening to this and you're subscribed to the $10 tier, make sure you unsubscribe or make sure you downgrade your membership to just the $5 tier. If you have any questions about it, just let me know and I can help you with it. But yeah, the Patreon is now I feel so much better about it, so much more excited about it, so much more capable of delivering what you're paying for. So yeah, if you want to sign up for that, the link is always in my bio. And yeah, I think that was all of my announcements. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for the reviews. Seriously, you cannot have any clue what they mean to me. Like they really make all the difference for morale, for team morale around here. But I love you. Thank you for putting in the time and effort to do those reviews. It meant so much to me. So I love you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I will see you all next week with a new episode of The Bad Broadcast. Remember to always be safe and be kind and be hot. Love you. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can catch a new episode of The Bad Broadcast every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss anything. Also, I want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information. Talk to you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.